Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 9:57 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 15th, and I apologize for posting the wrong audio last night. I was down to a gremlin in my system, which was making it difficult to discern exactly which date was which. And that has now been resolved, so that won't happen again. When we look at the markets, in Asia this morning, there was a relatively mixed picture, which is fairly reflective of what we've been having all week. The Nikkei responded favorably to the weakening of the yen, and it was stronger by almost 2%, up 164 points. And I've done an extensive review of the Japanese stock market in here today. And the trade-weighted index, which is perhaps the most reflective of exactly what the yen has been doing, and particularly in trade-weighted terms, continues to trend lower. And when we look at it over the last 5 years, it really does point out just how much of a move the yen has had to the upside. But it's been losing momentum for the last year, and it's been trending lower for the last 3 months. And really, this has the characteristics of a top formation. And provided the yen continues to weaken, then that will act as a tailwind for the stock market, which is comparatively depressed and has really stood aside from the rather impressive rally that has taken place in North America and Europe over the last 3 or 4 years. Elsewhere in Asia this morning, the ASX was down by 0.9% and continues to extend its decline, and the Hang Seng was weaker by 1.5% and continues to extend its decline. The Singapore market was also weak in here. But the ASEAN region has continued to hold out, but it does look susceptible to an additional pullback. And the Philippines in particular looks like it could pull back further at this juncture. And as we move further into this corrective phase, while it is seldom a wise thing to become increasingly bearish the further something declines, what we have seen during previous pullbacks is that because the ASEAN region is really the global leader in terms of growth, and because it's emblematic of the rise of the global consumer, which is really the dominant theme of this decade, then it has tended to find support first, but it tends to capitulate last in a corrective phase. And it's held up so remarkably well over the last month. And Indonesia in particular has been very strong, but the Philippines has been strong. The Malaysian market has been pulling back, and the Thai market has been really quite firm. But what they say about a corrective phase, or what people have long said about a bear market, but can equally be ascribed to a corrective phase, is that they take them out one by one and shoot them. And rather than looking at the remarkable steadiness and performance in relative terms of the ASEAN region, it is probably more correct to look at them and say that they are susceptible to an additional pullback, just like we've seen in other corrective phases. And they're generally late to move. So usually by the time they have begun to pull back and are starting to find support, then we're well into the latter stages of a corrective phase. So they really are worth watching. In China this morning, the market continued its decline, and it really will need to find support in the region of 3,100 on the Shanghai A shares if the benefit of the doubt is to continue to be given to the upside. What we continue to believe is that this is a bottom zone, a bottoming zone for China, and it's likely to need some form of catalyst in the form of accommodative measures from the new administration to really kickstart investor interest. But it's a cheap market. And in Europe today, the FTSE 100 extended its decline. Now it's breaking downwards from this 2-month range, and it was down by 0.77 of 1% and down 44 points. And the DAX was down by 0.8%, and the Dutch market was down by 1.8%. OMX was down by 1.3%, and the Swiss market, which has been among the better performers in Europe, is also pulling back now and was down 1.5%. And North America, which has been leading this decline, having been one of the best performing regions globally for much of this year, Wall Street is now leading the decline, and it was relatively steady in here today. The Dow Jones was down about 0.25%, the S&P was relatively unchanged, and the Nasdaq was down about 0.33%. Apple today broke downwards. It's been ranging here for the last 4 days, and it moved below the May low in here today, extending its decline. And what's really required is a clear upward dynamic and a break in the short-term progression of lower rally highs to suggest that demand is returning to dominance in here. And the Brazilian market was weaker today by 2%. And when we look at all of these stock markets, it is also worth keeping an eye on what the respective currencies are doing. And while Europe has been pulling back, the euro has been a bit firmer in here, and that's following a pretty weak couple of months. But it's now at 127.81 against the dollar and has steadied somewhat. But it's certainly in Europe's interest to have a weaker currency here. And it was announced today that the Eurozone is moving into another recession. And the Brazilian market in particular, if one looks at the currency, it looks like the Brazilian Central Bank are defending the 2 real level, and it is weakening from there once more. And the Bovespa was down by another 2% in here today. That's over 1,000 points. And the Rand in particular is really worthy of mention, because it does look like it's going to get weaker from here. And the fundamental reasons for that are not that difficult to fathom. The wage demands that are coming through for so many of the mining industry are probably a little bit inflationary. And what people are most worried about is trying to contain costs. So a weakening currency, it would certainly help in that regard. And over the last 5 years, what we're currently looking at is the potential that a first step above the base is being completed by the US dollar against the Rand. And the Rand is also weakening against the euro. So it does look like we're going to see a weaker Rand, and that has benefited the stock market over the last few months, if provided it doesn't turn into a rout. So the performance of the currency is really worthy of mention. And the Asian dollar index continues to hover here in the region of 118. It hasn't yet broken above it. But the performance of that index is likely to be a bellwether for the stock markets in the region, so it is also worthy of monitoring. And in the commodity complex today, oil, having been as high as 86.83 today, closed out the day down almost a dollar, and the volatility in that market continues. When I clicked through I went through my macro of charts this morning, it did look like really quite positive for oil. But this volatility that it has been prone to has proved true once more. And it today is a really rather large downward dynamic. And given the corrective phase that we're in, it's difficult to make a very bullish case for why oil should be going higher. And yes, there is this unrest between Israel and the Gaza Strip, and there have been a large number of rockets fired at Israel. But that is largely political, and neither of those two parties are particularly large oil producers. So whether that is going to should really have such a bearing on the oil price is, I think, very debatable. And gold today was down by about $10 and fell down to a low of $17.15. And platinum was weaker by $18, and palladium was weaker by $9, and the precious metals, silver was down by about 26 cents. When we look at these, The gold has now retraced about 50% of its rally over the last couple of weeks. And provided it holds above its recent low, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the downside. But it will need to find support above that low to continue to suggest that we're back into the possibility of imminent additional higher levels in gold. So we are now starting to see that the initial optimism and the decoupling of gold from other risk assets has taken a little bit of a pause, and it will have to survive on its own merits. So what the bulls will need to see is demand returning, and returning in an emphatic way within the next couple of weeks. And provided it holds above the 1675 area, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside in the short term. Elsewhere in the commodity complex, there was a large degree of variability in the soft commodity complex today. And palm oil, in particular, really rallied very impressively, and it's been really quite oversold. And coffee, which has been really quite weak, has steadied up in here in the last couple of days. And sugar continues to remain one of the weaker of the soft commodities. And lumber is holding here at $325, and it's pulled back over the last week or two, but it remains probably the commodity that's likely to do best from the rebuilding that will be associated with the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. Now, when we take a step back and we look at where this market is and how steady the government bonds have been and the panicky environment that investors find themselves in, and we look at the reasons for it, and one could say, well, we're in the fourth year of the presidential cycle, and some people will say that we've got a slowing global economy, and others will say that earnings have been disappointing this quarter, and perhaps the most poignant and short-term reason is because of the fiscal cliff. And this is very short-term in nature. And investors are voting with their feet, and they're stepping aside because of the uncertainty about how much tax they're going to have to pay. And until that is cleared up, they're unlikely to put their money back to work in the stock market. But once that uncertainty is cleared up, then we will be in a position where a large number of the things we like will have pulled back, and where there will be a large amount of unallocated cash sitting on the sidelines looking for a home. And when we look at what's been going on over the last 3 years, we've had these remarkably persistent advances which have been followed by really abrupt declines. And we're in one of those declines right now. And when these declines have tended to end, we've tended to get sharp rebounds. And there's no reason to expect that during this time, that we're not going to get another sharp rebound. Which is why we are very cognizant of the risks. And there's no evidence yet that these markets have bottomed. But when we do start to see commonality coming through in terms of outperformance and clear upper dynamics and lows holding, then we'll have evidence that a low is in, and it'll be time to start putting capital back to work in the stock market. But at the moment, we remain very much in this risk-off environment, and there isn't a great deal of evidence that it's ended just yet. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.